It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. King's College Choir with the first stanza of the famous hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd, is a hymn that is, like so many of those Good Shepherd hymns, a musical version, adaptation of Psalm 23. Now, is Psalm 23 just kind of an isolated metaphor in the Old Testament that just happens to have caught our attention because of its beautiful poetry, its imagery? Or is the prominence of this picture of the Lord as shepherd, not just we as sheep, but the Lord as shepherd, deeply embedded in both the Old and the New Testament? Is there something essential that the 23rd Psalm says about the Lord himself, namely Jesus Christ, our Lord? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll kick it off on this Friday afternoon with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer talking about Christ in the Old Testament, Psalm 23. A little bit later, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number, both now and when we play Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us every week to talk about Christ in the Old Testament. This one is a softball, Psalm 23. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
This is all over the place in both the Old and the New Testament, evidence being last week we were in Isaiah 40 and 1 Peter 1, and I believe both of them have a connection to this idea as Yahweh as shepherd. What's the connection there?
Well, yeah, last week we were looking at chapter 40 of Isaiah in 1 Peter. And that theme kind of goes throughout 1 Peter. I mean, from chapter 40, you also have this image that Yahweh is the shepherd. And so in chapter 40 of Isaiah, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them. And so this whole shepherd imagery is there in Isaiah chapter 40, and then it's in 1 Peter. I mean, you get this image in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer, the bishop of your souls. And then later on in chapter 5 of Peter, he closes by saying that the chief shepherd appears and you'll receive the unfading crown. Now, of course, he's talking to the under-shepherds, the pastors, the successors of the apostles who are to shepherd the sheep as we wait for the chief shepherd to return.
Okay, so the question is, before we get into Psalm 23, Is Psalm 23 and the other passages, and those are just a few that you mentioned here, that connect this idea of the Lord to the shepherd, are they merely a metaphor? Because I notice it doesn't say, Psalm 23, the Lord is like my shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. Is there something essentially being said about our God in calling him this shepherd?
Well, the understanding in creation is Adam and Eve are created in God's image, and they are in the garden, and God gives the gift of Eve to be with Adam in the garden, and they have life, and everything is good. But then when sin falls into place, or I should say out of place, and everybody falls into sin, this is this whole rebellion of creation against the Creator. And so this whole idea of a shepherd, the imagery of a shepherd, is one beyond yourself, one outside of yourself, who needs to be the one to protect you, to sustain you, to keep you, to feed you. And so this whole image of Yahweh being the shepherd is that Yahweh is the one who takes care of us, so that the people of Israel, when they were led out of Egypt, Yahweh is the shepherd who takes them out. And so this image of a shepherd is one who protects them against their enemies. It's one who feeds them. And as creation has now fallen away and in this rebellious state, the whole problem is that the creation is in league with the devil. And so these promises of God is that he himself will be the one who will protect you and will take you out of the grips of the devil, out of the teeth of the devil, and he's going to be the one who's going to shepherd you. He'll feed you. He'll sustain you. He'll protect you. I mean, you even see this kind of an image in Psalm 49, where it talks about, like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall become their shepherd. And so this whole image of those who are in rebellion against God, their shepherd is death, the one who is kind of taking care of them, if you will, of course, in a bad, negative way, leading them to death and leading them away from God. But so this good news is Yahweh comes and he takes us out of this being held captive by death, and death is no longer our shepherd, but rather Yahweh, who is life, becomes our shepherd.
So it's not isolated to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is maybe highlighting this, but it's not isolated either in Scripture or in the Psalms, is it?
Right, right. And so you have this imagery of Yahweh being the shepherd is one who is taking care of sheep. And so this image is throughout the Scripture, and the image is one that sheep need somebody outside of themselves to take care of them. Sheep cannot take care of themselves. Sheep cannot protect themselves. And so this whole image is that Yahweh is the one who's the protector, and Yahweh is the one who gives life and sustains life.
A shepherd is a pretty menial task. I mean, it takes some skill, obviously, I mean, to watch what they do. But I take it that in ancient Palestine, shepherds are not very high on the food chain, are they? What does it mean that Yahweh would call himself shepherd of Israel?
Yeah, well, this even in that whole idea, it's Yahweh coming to the sheep. It's the Creator entering into creation, this whole image that it's this Yahweh comes in weakness. He comes in our midst where we are and where we need him to be. And so, of course, yeah, the shepherd isn't the high man of the totem pole. It's not the nobility. It's not the one who lives in the palace or the castle. I mean, these are the ones out in the flocks, feeding the flocks in the fields. They're away from the big industrialized city, if you will, if you had one back then. But they're the ones who are doing kind of this vocation of service, and a vocation of service that's vitally important for the entire community, that they're the ones who are tending to the sheep. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, the idea of tending to the lambs is vitally important when you have the understanding of the whole sacrificial system that God himself puts into place. So these shepherds are the ones who are tending to the sheep, and these sheep are going to be the ones who will be the sacrificial lambs. They'll be the ones who will be the paschal lambs. They'll be the ones that point to us that this blood atones for us and it takes away our sin.
The first thing the psalmist says about having the Lord as his shepherd is, I will lack nothing. Why is that first on the list?
Well, right away, this idea, yeah, and it's, you know, I shall not want, is, you know, we have this idea of lacking nothing is really the reality. And what you see is that Yahweh is the shepherd. He's the one who will sustain us. He's the one that will provide so that we lack nothing. And so that's who Yahweh is. But when you go back to the exile, or I should say the captivity in Egypt, that is, the slavery in Egypt, when God brings them out in the Exodus, he shows them exactly who he is. He's the shepherd who will lead them into this green land, the land where there is food, the land where there is drink. And he's the one who will provide for them when they're in the wilderness. And so you see the image in Exodus chapter 16 when they're taken out and they are given the manna. So that the manna is this miraculous manifestation of who Yahweh is as a shepherd. So like in Exodus chapter 16, you have the people of Israel gathering, and they gather, some gather more, some gather less, but the whole point is whoever gathered, they had just the right amount. They didn't have any left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. And so this is the idea with the manna. God shows that he's the one who will provide, and they will lack nothing. He will give exactly what they need to sustain their lives. And later on in Deuteronomy, you'll have this recalling these events, and you'll have when Moses will say in Deuteronomy chapter 2, "For Yahweh your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, Yahweh your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." And so not only just that time with the manna, but the entire 40 years, that they lack nothing. And so you have Israel with the promises God gives. He leads them like a shepherd out of Egypt because they are like those sheep going astray, but he takes them in his arms and gently guides them. And then you even have this promise that when they get to the promised land, as Moses is now trying to enter them into, when Joshua will take over, you have this whole discourse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses will tell them about this promised land. Yahweh, your God, is bringing you into the good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out into the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. And so again, this is this whole understanding that Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. They had it in the wilderness, they had it in the promised land. This is God's promise that he will be with them, and he will provide for them, and they will lack nothing. So they are to continue to listen to his voice and trust that he is their shepherd.
Is it only the manna, the physical sustenance, that they do not lack?
Well, all of this, of course, in a fallen creation, all of these things point to our rebellion with God. So the fact that you have a famine, the fact that you have a drought, shows to us that we're living in this fallen, rebellious world. And so Yahweh's the one who's going to provide food and drink. And of course, that providing of food and drink points to the reality that the Creator has now been reconciled with creation. And the only way the Creator can be reconciled with creation is when the Creator himself takes upon flesh and blood to actually be the shepherd and to be the shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. And because of the atoning sacrifice on the cross, you have creation now reconciled with the Creator. And so now you actually have food and drink, and Yahweh's the one who provides all of this because of the mercy that we have for the sake of the name of the Lord.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series, our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Psalm 23 and the other Shepherd Psalms. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
When the local evangelical pastor gets up and ends his prayer with a reference to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, that moment in the parade of pluralism is offensive.
Gene Robinson is a totally self-absorbed, narcissistic man who has demanded his way or the highway, and anybody opposes him, wow, they're all homophobic.
Sin essentially is high treason against the king, against the sovereign.
The preacher is not to talk about the gospel or about Jesus, but the preacher is to deliver the goods, to forgive, to actually have an audible absolution, an audible sacrament, Zasa calls preaching of the word. It actually does the deed as it's spoken.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. Four soundbites that we have to play for you. You got a little taste of them right there. We'll play them in their entirety. You listen, then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page and you vote. And your vote decides which will be Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. That's coming up in 20 minutes here on Issues, Etc. In the meantime, it's Christ in the Old Testament, our series. Psalm 23 is the subject with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer this afternoon. There are those who do lack, at least according to these, to the scenario that Scripture lays out as the Lord is shepherd. Those who lack are those who do not seek Yahweh, those who are wicked. Talk about some of those.
Well, again, with this separation now with the creation's in rebellion. And so creation, with Adam and Eve, they were to have all the food they needed. They should not lack at all. But with the rebellion comes drought and famine. And so you have those who seek Yahweh lack no good thing. Now, the ones who seek Yahweh are those who live by faith, those who walk hearing His voice, continue to walk in His light. Those are the seekers of Yahweh who want to know what Yahweh says and gives His promises, and they trust Him. But those who are the wicked are those who have no faith, the unrepentant. And the wicked lack things. And so, for instance, like in Ezekiel chapter 4, Yahweh then turns around, and in punishment, He gives famine and He gives drought to His people. So like in Ezekiel 4, He says, "I will do this that they may lack bread and water and look at one another in dismay and rot away because of their punishment." And so this whole fact that we do have a lack of bread, we have a lack of water, of drink, is because of this fallen creation. And so when the people of God who are supposed to seek God and live, that is to hear His voice and continue to live by faith, when they resist the work of the Holy Spirit and refuse to listen, this is when there's a problem. And they begin to lack. It becomes a red flag, so they realize the covenant has now been broken, because we're supposed to be in the promised land, and the milk is supposed to be flowing in the honey, and everything's supposed to be wonderful, but it's not. And so you have, like in a Psalm 80, where when the people realize this, that they are now lacking, what happens is they turn back to God. So God brings this upon His people in order to bring repentance. So in Psalm 80, you begin by saying, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." And of course, the cherubim is a reference to the Ark of the Covenant. And so in Psalm 80, they now see that they've broken covenant because they are experiencing the drought and the famine. And so like in Psalm 80, it goes on in verse 4 and says, O Yahweh, O God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. And so you have this plea later on in the psalm saying, restore us, O God of hosts, that your face may shine upon us and we may be saved. And so you have this whole understanding that Yahweh gives the promise, he is your shepherd and you shall not lack. Continue to listen to his voice. But when the people refuse to listen, they experience the famine and the drought, which is there for the purpose of bringing repentance and to return them back to God, that God would give to them the gift of repentance. And so you'll have this again like in Psalm 78, where you have the people crying out to God and saying, give ear to God, and God saying back to his people, give ear to me, O my people, to my teaching, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old. Now, again, this idea that when the people refuse to listen to God's voice, God refuses to listen to their voice, their prayers. But his whole intention is to send the prophets to bring them to repentance so that they would cry out to him, that he would once again hear their voice as their hearts have been turned. And, of course, in Psalm 78, we have these words about speaking in parables is exactly what Jesus does. But in Psalm 78, it talks about how they've rejected God's word. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to walk according to his instruction. They forgot his works and his wonders. And they even spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Well, Psalm 78 closes with this whole understanding that God himself now says he will choose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people. And so then you have the whole idea that with an upright heart, David will be their shepherd, and he will guide them with his skillful hand. And so that's how Psalm 78 ends, that the people have rebelled. They cry out to God, and his answer is he will give them David to be their shepherd.
Okay, but David is not, and he is many times referred to as a shepherd. He is a shepherd by, I guess, training before he is made king and a man of war. But David isn't the shepherd that's fulfilling all this, is he?
Right. So all of this points to the Holy Incarnation, that it's going to be the Son of David will be the shepherd that they need. And so you see this language in the scripture like in Ezekiel, where the Messiah will be called David. And so like in Ezekiel 34, it says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Or later on, Ezekiel 37, again, my servant David shall be king over them, and he shall be the one shepherd. And they will walk in my rules, and they will listen to my statutes. So this understanding of David is pointing to the incarnation, that the Son of David will be the shepherd who will rescue, who will redeem, who will ransom, who will lead Israel, and they shall not lack. I mean, you even have this in Micah, in the famous passage from Micah chapter 5 about where is the Messiah supposed to be born. Well, in Micah 5, with the incarnation, you have it's in Bethlehem. That's where the one that is too little among the clans in Judah, but from Bethlehem shall come forth the ruler in Israel. And if you continue to read the text, it's not just a generic ruler, but specifically, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his God.
Okay, so we're talking about a David who isn't the David of the Old Testament, but the David of the promise.
Yes. So the promised shepherd, the promised one who will come from the house of David. And so, when you look throughout the Old Testament, the very first indication of a shepherd, of course, is Abel. Abel is the shepherd, and what happens to Abel? He dies. And so right off the bat, you have this whole picture being painted of the Messiah back in Genesis 3, that he will die. You have the image of a shepherd, and a shepherd dies. And then throughout, you have the whole picture of the incarnation is so that he shall die. You even have this in Zechariah chapter 13, that the sword shall awake, and against my shepherd, Yahweh says, against the man who stands next to me, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. And this is what happens when Jesus is handed over to be crucified. And then, of course, Jesus himself in our gospel text says, I am the good shepherd. And he explains to us exactly what the good shepherd is to do, lay down his life for the sheep.
Is that why the famous crucifixion psalm, Psalm 22, just so happens to precede Psalm 23?
Yeah, I would like to think so. But it is a nice placement because in Psalm 22, again, this is a psalm of David. So David is speaking and David is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And these are the words now put in the mouth of Jesus, the son of David, who is the servant David, the shepherd, when he speaks this on the cross. Because of the incarnation, Christ is able to speak this and he's able to be handed over and forsaken. But yet, Psalm 22 is right there in connection with Psalm 23. So as Jesus is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me, as the words of David say, well, the words of David's in Psalm 23 say, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so because of the incarnation, again, Christ is able to speak these words, knowing that he will be forsaken, knowing that he will die, but also knowing that he will rise again. And because Jesus first takes upon the flesh and suffers and is forsaken, like Psalm 22 says, and then he continues knowing that he will be raised and vindicated, and he is, then we can also say the same thing. Because of this death and resurrection of our good shepherd, we can say, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or more precisely, Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want.
We'll pick it up right there on the other side of the break, a few more minutes, talking about Psalm 23 in our series on Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with Pastor Ketchelmeyer on Psalm 23. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest on this Friday afternoon. We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament for the next few minutes before we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in Psalm 23. You said something before the break, Pastor Ketchelmeyer. You said not only do we say Yahweh is our shepherd, we say Jesus is our shepherd. Why that point?
Because Jesus is the one who takes upon this humanity in order to die for us and then in order to rise for us. And then in our baptism, we are united into his death and his life, so that we understand again in Psalm 22 that he's the one who speaks, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he's the one who also then can speak in Psalm 23, he restores my soul, which of course is tied back to David's psalm in Psalm 16, where again he speaks and Christ says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Or again, like David's psalm in Psalm 30, O Yahweh, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. So because Jesus embodies these words in his death and his resurrection, these words become our words, so that in Christ there is no condemnation. So even though we die, those who believe in him, yet we shall live. So that we can say, Jesus is my shepherd, and he's the one who restores my soul for his name's sake.
And what does that mean with about a minute or and a half when it says for his name's sake? Why is that so important?
Well, again, when we understand Psalm 23, first you have to have Jesus being incarnate, that he is the son of David. He is the servant David who speaks these words in the flesh. But then secondly, you have to understand that according to his human nature, he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he has been given the name that is above every name. So that he has been the servant who is obedient to the point of death, like in Psalm 22, but then he's raised from Sheol to life, and he does this for us. And so for his name's sake, for this promise of what he has done, for the sake of Christ, we know that those who are in him have no condemnation. And so like in Psalm 25, we have, for Yahweh's name's sake, pardon my guilt, for it is great. So there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But it's this name, Yahweh, that he has according to his human nature, that allows us to say, Yahweh is my shepherd, that is, Jesus is my shepherd, and I shall not lack, he restores my soul.
Folks, if you enjoy our weekly teaching with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on Christ and the Old Testament, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Now, for any size contribution during the 50 days of Easter, right in the middle of them right now, we'll send you a CD of sermons that I've preached on the resurrection of Christ and one on the Old Testament book of Job. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can donate by check. Make that check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and as always, thanks for your support during the Easter season. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.